This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Thanks. Number one, the Knicks-Celtics game tomorrow at Madison Square Garden, 3:30 tip. Maybe the biggest game in the Knicks' recent history. Playoff tickets just to get in on the aftermarket, $650 just to get into the arena in the upper levels. Tickets are thousands and thousands of dollars a piece. This is equivalent to some of the biggest sporting events of the year. You know, we talked about how the Garden will be insane tomorrow afternoon. The ticket prices are insane. It's going to be, I think, a worthwhile watch, even if you're not an NBA fan, just to see how lit this crowd will be. The Knicks have a 2-0 series lead. There was just one NBA playoff game last night. No Steph Curry for the Warriors meant a disaster. I mean, honestly, there was a point in that game. I think, you know, it started during one of the in-between periods for the Caps, but it was 13-0 Minnesota, and like 5 minutes had elapsed. I was wondering if Golden State could even possibly get to 50 points in the game. They got to 93, but they lost by 24. It was actually competitive at one point in the second half, but Draymond Green got hit with a dead ball technical foul. There was 8:46 to go in the second quarter. Naz Reid, who's playing very well for Minnesota, fouled Draymond Green, and Green then flailed his arms and his left arm, knocked into Naz Reid's head. Reid fell to the floor. They went to the monitor. Reid was called for a personal foul, which was accurate, and then Draymond Green, was assessed a dead ball technical after the review, which I thought was also the right call. He is now two technicals short of receiving an automatic one-game suspension. This was Draymond Green then was very lucky that he didn't get teed up again with a technical foul, because he argued for a while. Steph Curry had to come out and kind of talk to him. The coaching staff was out there trying to pull him back. This is what he said after the game.
I'm not an angry black man. I'm a very successful, educated black man with a great family. And I'm great at basketball. I'm great at what I do. The agenda to try to keep making me look like an angry black man is crazy. I'm sick of it. It's ridiculous.
So he thinks the agenda is to make him look like an angry black man. And, you know, Jimmy Butler agreed with him after the game, saying his reputation often leads to calls going against him, but said he isn't worried about Green because he knows how close he is to suspension and he can get it together. Now, Butler didn't exactly agree with him, just said that, you know, he thinks the rep is part of it. So, look, I've watched a lot of Draymond Green over the years. He is a brilliant basketball player. He is, I think, a Hall of Famer. I think he'll eventually be in the Hall of Fame. If he's not in the Hall of Fame, it's all of the other stuff that got in the way. I also find him to be incredibly engaging, charismatic. If you've ever listened to him interviewed or that podcast that he was a part of, he's exceptional in a lot of ways. But he's also in the midst of competition, and we all know people like this, he's emotionally unstable. He can get to a point where he is incapable of calming himself down and walking away. Last night, whether it was intentional or not, by rule, that was a dead ball technical foul. He flailed his left arm. It hit Naz Reid in the head. Whether it was intentional or not, that was the right call. Very lucky, and has been very lucky over the years, in my opinion, in watching him, that he hasn't been teed up, you know, at a 4-to-1 ratio over the amount that he's actually been teed up at. He argues and gets away with a longer period of arguing with referees than I think any player I've ever seen in the history of the league. Now, eventually they get him, but it takes an awful lot for him to get teed up versus another player. That's where they've gotten to. He is so emotionally unstable at times that the referees actually take that into consideration and don't tee him up many times when he should be teed up. He should have been tossed last night after he was given the dead ball technical, and his constant berating. He was stalking referees. Steph Curry had to come out. The assistant coaches had to come out. It's funny to watch Steve Kerr with him, man. Steve just looks at him and says, you know, get to the bench, and then turns. He doesn't grab him. He doesn't. I don't know the relationship.
They cut to Steve at one point, and he had like gym face from The Office, just like the,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It was total Jim Halpert face. And I don't get it. I don't know why. I know that they've tried to get him help over the years, and he's sought it out himself. He's just incapable. And at 35, 36 years old now, he's not going to change. You know, let's see if he can keep it together, because with no Steph Curry, and Tim Legler was on with us yesterday, he's going to be calling the next two games in that series for ESPN, games 3 and 4 on Saturday night and on Monday night. And he said they've got to steal one without Steph and hope that they're only down 3-2 when he comes back for a game 6. They can't steal one at home without Draymond Green being a part of it. They just can't. So we'll see what happens. But an interesting and very emotional night for Draymond Green. I think we've said that about him many times. That series, the first two games, I'll tell you who's not playing well, is the guy that many have dubbed like the next Jordan. Anthony Edwards is exceptional as a talent. There's no doubt about it. But he's looked very off in this series. They just didn't need a whole hell of a lot last night. All right, so the schedule comes out next week officially on Wednesday. We'll know, you know, all 17 games, dates, times, networks, the whole nine yards next Wednesday. But for those of you unfamiliar, for now going on close to 20 years, I don't know if it's 20. It's close to 20 years. I've been doing a mock schedule every year for Washington. Now everybody does them. When I first started, I don't think anybody did them. Not that people ripped me off, because I don't think that's what happened at all. But no one was doing them, and I got mocked for doing them. And I still do, and it's fine. That's part of the, you know, it's basically a bit here that I've done over the many years of doing radio here. And I don't know why I started to do it, other than to say that I think I was doing it even before I did it on radio. I would always just kind of map out what Washington's schedule would be, usually in hopes of seeing a lot of primetime games, Monday nighters against the Cowboys, etc. Anyway, I will have my mock schedule, season opener and another significant game in 25 minutes at 11 a.m. And then on my podcast this weekend, I'll put it out and I'll have it on radio on Monday as well on the show. So, and one of the reasons I've got to do it that way is because starting on Monday, we're going to have official announcements on the games, and I don't want to cheat. I want this to be a mock schedule that I put together without any insight. Now, there is a leak out there that many of you think is accurate. I don't know if it is or isn't, but I will tell you about that at 11 a.m. So anyway, Mike North, who has been one of the key people involved in putting the NFL schedule together for the league office, he joined me on the show back in mid April. It was April 16th, so not exactly a month ago, but almost a month ago. He's the VP of programming development for the NFL, broadcast planning, VP of broadcast planning for the NFL. He was an excellent guest on the show. I don't know why I hadn't had him on before, but he's great. He's been one of the key parts of the schedule-making team. So there was a lot that came out of that, and I thought we should revisit some of it because it is interesting. And I know a lot of you now are starting to get excited about the schedule, much more so than maybe you used to, because the NFL's made a big deal out of it. And oh, by the way, for the first time in forever, like, this is going to be a schedule that is going to feature a lot of massive, high-profile games for our team. So there are a few sound bites that I want to play from that conversation that I had with Mike North back on April 16th. So the first soundbite you're going to hear is he had said to me that, you know, there are 272 games a year and they have this, you know, big kind of grid and they got to put them all in different spots. And he said, but every year there are 10 to 20 games that are obvious that they have to put in high profile spots. You know, they've got to put on, you know, Sunday night football, Monday night football, opening night, Thursday nights, Black Friday, Thanksgiving, Christmas, the international games, etc. And I asked him, I said, you know, with Washington being a legitimate contender again after all of the years of not being, I said, how different is the view in putting together Washington's schedule this year? Here's what he said.
Very. Very different. And honestly, as you know, somebody who's been with the league for a long time, grew up on the East Coast, you know, when we were growing up, you know, the Redskins were a thing. And yes, it's been a while, but I don't think, we'll see what happens. I don't think that fan base left. I think it's just kind of lying dormant. So now that they're competitive again, an NFC Championship game appearance, I don't think there's any question you're going to find the Commanders all over the national television schedule. And they've got a great schedule. You think about not only all those NFC East games, obviously every year those matters, but you play a Detroit, you play a Kansas City, you play Chicago and Green Bay. Like, there's a lot of really good games on the Commanders' schedule. So, yeah, whereas in previous years, you know, maybe a lot of Sunday 1 o'clock starts in the Beltway. That's probably not what's going to happen this year. I think you're going to see a real challenge for Coach Quinn and the team. We're going to be out of our routine playing a lot of Sunday nights, some Monday nights, some Thursdays. Got to be in the mix for kickoff in Philadelphia. Got to be in the mix again for Thanksgiving in Dallas. There's going to be all kinds of places where we're going to see Commanders games this year.
So, much different than it's been, obviously. We all understand that. Not only were they a 12-win team that got to the NFC Championship game, they have one of the league's superstar quarterbacks. And that combination means they are going to be profiled in high, you know, leverage spots schedule-wise all season long. As we've been saying, get ready for some late nights because there are going to be a bunch of them. I asked him specifically about the opener in Philadelphia, where the defending champs open up every year in the first game. They call it the kickoff game. This will be on September 4th, I think, of the upcoming fall. This is what he said about that particular game. Thursday night, September 4th, the defending champion Eagles will play host to somebody. Is a perceived quality opponent, Mike, you know, an attractive matchup between Philly and another good team or perceived good team, is it necessary? Meaning, you know, it's the first game of the year, everybody's going to watch no matter who's playing in it?
It's a great question. I mean, I think you've kind of seen we've done it both ways.
Yes.
In recent years. You remember a couple of years ago, we put Detroit in there.
Yep.
Off of their first winning season in a long time. They had knocked off, I think they knocked off the Packers,
yeah,
right?
Last game of the year, yeah.
Yep, so they kind of played their way into that window. It maybe wasn't one of the top 10 or top 20 games of the season, you wouldn't think, but man, Detroit went in there, gave them all they could handle, got out of there with a win, and sort of propelled themselves onto this, you know, new perception of Detroit where they're an NFC mainstay. So there's teams that kind of play their way into that position, but, you know, you can't go wrong with a mainstay. Like you said, you put Baltimore, Kansas City last year into that window, and it came down to the very end with the kid's toe on the white in the back of the end zone, and, you know, you got 28 million people watching. So, you know, there's probably a floor to what that window could do, and I think we're going to want to put, you know, a game in there that our fans are going to care about, but I'm not sure we've really tested the ceiling of what that window could be. And as you look at the Eagles' home schedule this year, it's spectacular. I could make a case literally for every single game on their schedule. Right. And obviously Washington would be one of them. I mean, the last time we saw these two teams play, it was a whatever 30-40 point blowout in the championship game. But like we said, you add Debo, you add some pieces on the line. Jaden's got another year, got a full offseason. Who knows? Maybe Washington-Philly's a great window for that game in week one, and everybody can be excited about it for the next 4 months. But I could make the same case for Chicago. You know, a Bears-Eagles game there with Caleb and the coach who probably could have had any job he wanted, and he chose Chicago, and he chose to go work with the kid, and they've added some pieces to their offensive line. Denver coming off a playoff. Dallas getting their quarterback with a new coach. Detroit would be fun, the two best, arguably, teams in the conference last year. I can make a case for literally almost every game on their schedule. The Rams have earned it. I mean, you can make a case for every single game. It's less about that one game and more about the trickle-down effect on the rest of the Eagles' schedule, the rest of the Sunday night NBC schedule, the rest of the Week 1 schedule. It's not just about checking one box. It's about checking a lot of boxes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Interesting stuff about that game. That game has featured, like last year, a rematch of the AFC Championship game, the Ravens at the Chiefs. And the year before that, the Lions, who nobody knew would end up being a good team, they were the opponent for the Chiefs. The year before that, it was Bills-Rams. Really good matchup in the kickoff game. The Rams were the defending champs. The year before that, the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. The Cowboys hadn't done much in the postseason. Houston was involved in the 2020 game. You can go back. You know, it's not always the perceived high-profile matchup. That's a real hard part of, I'm sure, what he discussed. Like, there's this trickle-down effect. Like, if you put Washington in that game, well, maybe you're missing out on a Washington-Philly Sunday night or Monday night game that would do a massive number in October or November, when, you know, you'd be wasting it. You know, Fox is probably going to protect one of the Washington-Philadelphia games and put it as a 425, you know, lead game doubleheader-wise on a Sunday. I'm guessing that that will happen. But that was him on the opener in Philly. I asked him about just Thanksgiving. I mean, we know that Washington and Dallas have played a lot on Thanksgiving over the years. This is what he said about that.
maybe it was Thanksgiving, you know, a Redskins-Cowboys game on Thanksgiving, as the Thanksgiving tradition has continued to grow. You know, that's where we capture a lot of casual fans. I think I saw a stat somewhere where, you know, 8 to 10% of NFL fans watch their first game of the year on Thanksgiving.
Wow.
So you're with the family, the television's on, it's the Cowboys year after year, and felt like for a long time it was, you know, a constant, you know, Redskins-Cowboys just felt natural. Now, you know, you put a Redskins-Cowboys game on Thanksgiving, I think we're still holding, what, 42 million from a couple of years ago when that game was on, and that was before, you know, the Commanders became, you know, what the Commanders are now. And you add Debo and you add all these interesting pieces, a Commanders-Cowboys game on Thanksgiving, you got to think, is looking at, you know, the most watched regular season game ever for the NFL. But is that the best use of that asset? You know, you could put it on a Sunday afternoon on Fox and probably get 30, 35 million. You could, you know, like we said, have the Commanders in kickoff. You can have them on Thanksgiving. You can have them on Black Friday. You can have them on Christmas. You can have them in Madrid and have them go over and play Miami. There's so many ways to dole out these 17 Commanders games. A lot more options than we've had.
So I know a lot of you think, well, this is an obvious game in the upcoming season, Washington at Dallas on Thanksgiving. And he said it might be the all-time record number. The 2016 game, for several years when Dak was a rookie, they were 9-1. Washington was 6-3-1. They had just absolutely pounded Green Bay on Sunday Night Football. That, for I think 5 or 6 years, was the most watched regular season game in NFL history, and I think that's the game he was referring to. But I think
in either Brazil or Spain this year.
Hello, what are you playing there?
It is.
Hey, Max, you there?
I'm here. We're good.
Yeah. So hold off on that.
Yeah,
that
my
next
fault.
One.
That's my fault.
No worries. So, what was I saying? Thanksgiving, the Giants Cowboys game last year did a massive number, and the Giants sucked. That's where the NFL and the schedule makers, it's interesting because opening night, people are going to watch. Thanksgiving, people are going to watch. I thought that was an interesting stat he gave. 8 to 9% of NFL fans watch their first game on Thanksgiving Day. So there's no guarantee of Washington and Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. And then this is what he said specific to the two international opportunities that Washington has. Washington has the Chargers as a road opponent. The Chargers will host the game on Friday night, September 5th, from Brazil. And then they also have the Dolphins as a road opponent. The Dolphins have the first ever game in Madrid. So I asked him about the opportunities for those two spots. All right, what are the chances Washington plays in either Brazil or Spain this year?
It is definitely a possibility. Personal opinion, I like them for kickoff better than I like them for Brazil in week one, but obviously not my decision. Spain would be pretty interesting, kind of right in the middle of the season. It might cost you Thanksgiving, which is something we're going to have to think about. If you play the Spain game in week 11, let's say, and then Washington comes home to the bye in week 12 after Madrid, then you probably can't turn around and play on Thursday in Dallas on Thanksgiving. So is that the right thing? What would go into Thanksgiving instead? They're not even guaranteed their bye coming back from Madrid. We've got so many international games now, some of them early, some of them late. You can't give everybody their byes after international games. So do you go to Madrid, come back to a home game, and then quickly get on the road for a short week in Dallas on Thanksgiving? I don't know if that's the best way to, you know, set up the Commander schedule. So are they in the mix for both Brazil and Madrid? Absolutely, yes. Are they in the mix for kickoff? Yes. Are they in the mix for Thanksgiving? Yes. Are they in the mix for Christmas? Yes. We're not going to be able to do all those things, so we're really just going to come down, like we said, to vanilla, chocolate, strawberry at the end. This one's got the Commanders in kickoff, so they're not in Brazil. This one's got them in Madrid, so they're not on Thanksgiving. This one's got them on Thanksgiving, so they're not on Christmas. This one's got them on Christmas, so they're going to play two short week Thursdays. They're all going to be a little different. I love the flexibility. I love the optionality. As you said at the beginning, this is probably something we haven't really had with Washington games for, you know, decades, really. So this is exciting for us. It makes all the NFC East games more interesting. The NFC East crosses into the NFC North, so that'll be fun this year. There's a lot of really good games. No question the Commanders are going to find themselves in some pretty prominent windows.
So that answer was very interesting. So I don't think they're, you know, going to be in the mix for Brazil. I don't. And by the way, I think that's better for Washington. If they're going to play an international game against the Chargers or Dolphins, have it against the Dolphins in Madrid, because the Chargers don't have a home field advantage. So you're basically taking two road games of your nine and making them neutral site games. Miami would have a home field advantage more so than the Chargers would. You know, the NFC plays nine road games this year. It's very possible Washington's going to have two of them where they're either the favored team crowd-wise or it's neutral at best. But what he said in that answer, and I have talked to just a couple of people. I'm not learning anything specific to the schedule. But I think it's interesting. Teams aren't guaranteed their bye weeks off international games anymore. There are just too many international games to guarantee it. We've seen it the last few years. Teams, in some cases, teams don't necessarily want their bye week coming back from an international game. There are other ways to give Washington, you know, an extra day or so coming off an international game. They could play them on Monday night coming back from an international game the following week. But what you did hear him say is that it's probably an either or, Madrid or Thanksgiving, not both. And I know a lot of you, based on one of the leaks last night, said it's Madrid bye week Thanksgiving. I don't think that's going to happen. I could be wrong. I don't know for sure. But I think what I learned there from him is it's either or. They're either going to have that international game or they're going to play on Thanksgiving. And I think the way it shapes up is if they end up playing in Madrid, they don't play Thanksgiving, but they play Christmas Day. Because I think they're going to be on one of the two holidays for sure. All right. There were a couple of other things that he said about the schedule that I wanted to play for you. I asked him about the opponent on Washington's schedule, and it's a good one this year that stands out the most. You'll hear that. You'll also hear, you know, how many primetime games are allowed. We'll get to that from Mike North, VP of Program Development for the NFL. He was on the show about a month ago talking about the NFL schedule, which comes out next week. We'll get to that, and then I'll give you my mock season opener and another game from the schedule that I put together at 11 a.m. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also now on the Team 980 YouTube page streaming. When you get there, hit the subscribe button and hit the like button for us.
All right, the Caps get their lick back against Carolina to tie the series 1-1. Connor McMichael opened the scoring with a breakaway, and John Carlson put the Caps up 2-0. Tom Wilson buried the empty netter to seal the victory. Caps win 3-1. The Oilers take down the Golden Knights in overtime. Connor McDavid with a silky pass to Leon Draisaitl to ice the game. Oilers win 5-4. The Wolves, Timberwolves, put a beatdown on the Golden State Warriors minus Steph Curry. They won 117-93. Julius Randle had 24 points, 7 rebounds, and 11 assists. The Washington Nationals will take on the St. Louis Cardinals tonight. Mitchell Parker expected to be on the bump, and Nats on Deck starts at 6:15 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.